This is
KUT.
KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop. I used to get mad at my school. The teachers had taught me when cool. They're holding me down, turning me around, filling me up with your room. I have to admit, it's getting better. A little better all the time. Hello, and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staten with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. I'm so glad that you're back in our studios on campus.
Well, thank you very much. And you know, it's school is out.
Yes.
It's time to sort of catch your breath. I don't think you do that, though. I think you just go right on and keep working.
I start shooting math videos.
You start shooting.
But it is always kind of eerily quiet on your campus, you know, when all of a sudden the undergrads have left and the graduates have graduated. It's a sad time.
Well, it seems like also could be a time to sort of reflect. And I thought this might be a good time to sort of take stock of the past school year. And I don't mean for Southwestern University specifically, but sort of higher education in general, because at least from my vantage point, there was kind of a lot going on this past year. There was the news stories from several weeks ago. We heard allegations of cheating, some allegations of bribery, other things going on in higher education admission. You know, I saw several articles over the past school year. I'm sure you see them too, or people forward them to you, that are all along the lines of, is college education worth it? Should we still, you know, go to college?
Right.
And I also, I'm sure you keep up with these too. It seems like there were more instances, or maybe they just get reported more often, of controversial, and I say that in quotes, speakers either being invited to campus, disinvited, and protest. It just seems
free
like
speech issues.
Yeah, that there has been a lot going on in the world of higher education and on campuses this year. So I thought it would be a good time to hear from somebody who, in fact, leads a higher education institution, to sort of get your take about this past year and sort of the state of higher ed, if you will.
Well, so all of the topics that you mentioned, we've either have discussed or certainly can discuss in great detail. But, you know, there's also the existential issue that's been going on this year and over the past few years, actually, which is kind of two sides of the same coin. One is the cost of higher education, which gets back to your point, you know, is it worth it or not? There's that side and how the costs continue to rise. But there's the other side, which is just the business model. I mean, is this sustainable? Is this industry, as it's currently crafted, a sustainable and viable thing? And we know through the news over the past year, the answer is no, because we've seen many schools, some of them with, you know, high profile names, that have announced that they're not going to be taking any more students and they're going to slowly close up.
Well, you read my question list ahead of time, because that was exactly one of my questions.
I did not read that question.
You read my mind then.
Okay.
Which is, you know, if you look at everything about this model, the economics of it, sort of the business side, we have talked before when we talk about liberal arts and education, and you kind of have jokingly say it's a very inefficient delivery system, right? Which is
you read my mind.
Which is true, but also that's what makes it impactful, right? Is that it's this incredible
and expensive.
So
it's the inefficiencies that, especially at the small private liberal arts institutions like Southwestern University, it's the inefficiency that actually sets those institutions apart. If you go to a really large institution where you're sitting in a biology class with 300 other students in that same room, and someone's, you know, kind of talking to you through a microphone or whatever, that's a different intellectual experience than if that instructor is, you know, right over your shoulder and prompting you.
All right. So you answered the question, is this current model sustainable? You said no. So what do we do?
Well, it gets back to your point, which is in the discourse of the times, which is this worthwhile? Is this proposition worthwhile? If the thing you're going to get is a piece of paper, if that's what you're buying, which gets back to the scandal and the allegations there with the cheating, well, then it's not probably worth it, because, you know, like I said on that episode, you know, buy a printer and print out a diploma and you're done. If you're truly offering an intellectual journey that starts somewhere and takes an individual to some other place. And along the way, there are innumerate growth opportunities, then I can make a very compelling case for that will be the best investment that you will ever make in yourself, even more so than buying a house, which, you know, tends to be a good investment in that property values continue to go up unless you're, you know, hit the end of the bubble. Investing in yourself, but then something has to happen. You have to become a better version of you. And the dividends of that, which is scary because I can't tell you exactly what they're going to be. And this is the problem with the argument, right? We're talking about future value. We're talking about future opportunities, which I can't tell you right now. If you say, oh, Ed, I'm going to enroll in Southwestern University, tell me exactly what's going to happen to me. I can't. But if you were to embrace what we are offering and those experiences, you will come out better than you came in, whatever that means to you. And therefore, you will go out and you will get promoted faster if you're thinking about jobs and career and vocations and salaries, or you will just live a richer, fuller life because of those experiences.
Well, and there are also some ways I think that that higher education experience at whatever institution somebody is fortunate enough to be able to attend, there's some other tangible things. There are people you meet. There are alumni connections. There are opportunities that you may be exposed to simply because you did attend an institution, whereas if you did not attend, you wouldn't necessarily know about or be exposed to those. And there are other intangible things too. You know, I am going to celebrate my 30th college reunion this year, and those friends are still some of my best friends.
Right.
And that's an experience that, you know, I'm sure I would have met great people at other places, but there are relationships there that have enriched life in a way beyond any class or lecture or activity.
And again, it's really scary when you don't know what that inevitable target is. You have to trust the system. So you have to trust the institution that you found resonates with who you are. And then more importantly, you have to trust the professionals, the teacher, the faculty and the staff that something will happen, something will unfold. And then most importantly, you have to trust yourself. You have to say, I have the confidence to realize that I am going to evolve over time and to be open to that growth, to be open to that change, and to be opened for that that evolution. And by doing so, I think you open your mind and your heart and your emotions to possibilities that you couldn't have seen otherwise. But that's scary. That's really scary.
Well, and you said kind of the key word, I think, which is trust. So when there's been a school year like this one, when something happens like the allegations of cheating and bribery, and some of it was in college test taking and some of it was in the admission process, students who are applying might go, there's no way, the deck is stacked against me. You know, I don't have that kind of money to get through the system. I don't, you know, I'm at a disadvantage. I don't trust that this is going to work out well.
But the trust is in the experience. And as I said a moment ago, finding the place that resonates with you. And that's the break point that you're talking about. Because if you're going to fake who you are, if you're going to pretend or cheat your way to be someone else, then, in fact, what truly resonates with you and that place where your growth can happen is not going to be where you end up. You're going to go up to a place that's right for the fake or cheated version of you. And so that's up to you. I mean, if you want to be dishonest, then you can have that inconsequential experience. But if you are honest, then you can't. You won't be affected by the fact that other people are trying to do things that maybe you and I would think show kind of no basic appreciation for what's right and wrong.
All right. So I am ready.
Speaking
of right and wrong, excellent segue there.
There you go. I want to get that in because you always get the good segues.
Well, you beat
me. I've got a puzzler.
It beat me to it. So let's have the new puzzler.
This is a puzzler that I actually shared with my effective thinking through creative puzzle solving class at Southwestern University one evening last fall. And they enjoyed talking about it. And I thought, why not share it with you?
Yeah.
Here we go. So it's a little story.
Oh, good. I love stories.
Okay. So there was once a recluse who never left his home.
Okay.
The only time anyone ever visited him was when his food and supplies were delivered. But even in that case, they never came inside.
So just left it all outside
Correct.
The front door.
Correct. Okay. Okay. Then one stormy winter night, when a icy gale was blowing, he had a nervous breakdown. He went upstairs, turned off the lights, and went to bed. The next morning, he had caused the deaths of several hundred people.
Whoa, this is really intense. What is this?
How is this possible? Welcome to the real world.
What?
Yes.
Several.
That is the puzzler. How is that possible?
Oh. Okay, don't pay any attention to my drawings, but I think I got it.
Wait, let me, I'm going to put on my glasses.
Well, you're not going to be able, you are not going to be able to tell.
Let me see the picture. Let me see it.
You're not going to be able to tell. You can't tell anything.
Oh, but I
see?
Maybe, no, I think maybe you're right.
So.
Maybe you're right.
Well,
see.
We
next
shall
week.
See.
Next
it's
week.
Definitely a visual one.
You've got
it's
a
definitely
little,
a visual
you've
one.
You've got a little picture there. But you love drawing. You are a visual thinker.
That helps me think through these because what I like to do is sort of keep track of what you've already said. Mm. And so I do that best.
With a little doodle.
With a doodle, exactly. So just as we wrap up here, we've been talking about challenges of higher ed. We talked about cost. We talked about sort of jokingly the efficiency, the model, as we have discussed before. We've talked about, I'm curious to hear sort of your reflection on what you think is going really well in higher ed this year. What's exciting right now? What topics you and your colleagues are kind of jazzed about in the world of higher education? I want to end on a positive note.
Absolutely. But just to be clear, I wasn't joking about inefficiency.
Oh, I know.
And I'm proud. I mean, we should pride ourselves on that. There's a lot of great things going on in higher education, advising and retention, a lot of efforts across many, many schools about once an individual arrives, how do you make sure that that person gets all the appropriate support that's necessary for that person to really succeed and thrive? And then looking for opportunities for high impact intellectual experiences outside the classroom. So that could be internships, research opportunities, studying abroad, doing community engaged learning. There's so many different ways that we can learn outside of the formal traditional classroom. And more schools are embracing those modes of learning and those wonderful life-changing experiences. And so at Southwestern, we're doing all of that. And it's been really exciting to watch, especially take like the internship example where, you know, maybe a student is coming from a financial background where they have to work over the summer to pay for their books for the next academic year, okay? And now imagine someone who is affluent and is offered an unpaid internship in a professional organization, maybe the medical arts or law school, I mean, a law practice or something, which would be really great to build those connections. That person of means can do it. The person that does not have means can't do it. So to be able to provide resources from the institution. So Southwestern provides now resources to students who otherwise wouldn't be able to actually have that experience because of resource issues. And we say, forget about working, you know, at a coffee shop, do this unpaid internship and we'll pay you as if you were doing the other stuff. That now brings a lot of equity into the experience once you're at the institution rather than just the financial aid package that everyone sees when they come in.
Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. I'm Jennifer Staton, KUT News.